Who will be the next president of France? Emmanuel Macron bids for re-election in the shadow of war in Ukraine. But candidates from the far right and far left say he's out of touch with the French population. Will the voters prove them right? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohamed Jemjoum. 5 years ago, Emmanuel Macron was a newcomer to French politics. He swept aside the traditional left-right political divide by forming a centrist party and becoming the youngest ever president. Now, the 44-year-old is the incumbent seeking re-election. Sunday's first round of voting is happening in the shadow of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Macron held his only campaign rally last Saturday outside Paris. He promised to defend Europe's democracy while raising pensions and cutting corporate taxes. Opinion polls suggest a repeat of 2017 when Macron faced Marine Le Pen in the second round. The far-right candidate has since toned down her previous statements against immigration. Instead, she's focused her campaign on the high cost of living. Both are facing late challenge from the far left. We'll bring in our guests in a moment. First, Natasha Butler reports from Lille.
Jean-Luc Mélenchon is one of France's best-known politicians. A fiery orator and former Trotskyist, the far-left party leader has spent years on the margins of French politics. But Mélenchon's fortunes are changing. Opinion polls suggest he could make it to the second round of the presidential election. At a rally in Lille, he said if elected, he'd end inequality, fight climate change and tackle the cost-of-living crisis.
Millions of French people are being strangled by the rising cost of living and fuel prices. Millions of French people. So the role of those who lead the nation is to fix this.
Mélenchon's supporters say he's the antithesis of Emmanuel Macron, who Mélenchon once nicknamed the president of the rich.
It's been a difficult 5 years for many people, so as far as I'm concerned, we can't re-elect Emmanuel Macron.
Mélenchon embodies anti-capitalism, pro-workers' rights. We're sick of factories shutting in France. We want a strong Europe, and Mélenchon's the only one with answers.
One of the main reasons that Mélenchon is doing so well in this presidential election is because France's traditional left-wing socialist party is doing badly. For decades, the Socialist Party was a political force that created presidents. But the arrival of the centrist Macron in 2017 and a shift among voters to the political right has left the Socialist Party in tatters and its presidential candidate Anne Hidalgo floundering in the polls.
The Socialist Party still has local mayors, but on the national level, it has lost any appeal because it's lost a program, it's lost ideas, it's lost the battle of ideas. And François Hollande's presidency is seen in its legacy as a moment of weakness in terms of ideas, in terms of proposals, in terms of also answers to the problems of globalization, of the changes in the society.
With most parties on the left, including the Greens, trailing in the polls, Mélenchon is expected to reap the majority of left-wing votes. Few people expect him to win the presidency, but making it past the first round could signal that France's left is ready for a revival. Natasha Butler, Al Jazeera, Lille.
All right, let's go ahead and bring in our guests. In Paris, Hamid Shriet, a political commentator and researcher on French economic affairs. In Saint-Malo, Jacques Relland, a senior research fellow at the Global Policy Institute and a specialist in economic and social policy. Also in Paris, Jazine Weber, a program coordinator with the German Marshall Fund of the U.S. Paris office and an expert in European security issues. A warm welcome to you all, and thanks for joining us today on Inside Story. Jacques, let me start with you today. Where do things stand in the election right now? Opinion polls are suggesting a repeat of 2017 when President Macron faced Marine Le Pen in the second round. Do you think that's what we're going to see happen?
It looks like it. Yeah, at this stage, it looks like it. Macron was well in the lead when the war started at 32%. Now it's down to 26, 27%. But Marine Le Pen, who has risen from 17 to 22 in that space. And the only other contender could be Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who last time rose quite 5 points in the last week. He's now at 15, around 15, 16. But I don't think he will be able to overtake Marine Le Pen. So it looks like Macron-Le Pen duel for the second round, but with a closer margin, a narrower margin than was expected but only even 2 weeks ago. So that's the main point, is the rise and rise of Marine Le Pen in the last couple of weeks. And I can explain why that has happened at a later stage. But if you want, I can start now.
I'll actually get back to you with a question on that in just a moment. Jazeen, let me ask you, how much has Russia's invasion of Ukraine upended President Macron's plans for what he had hoped to accomplish in the first half of this year? And how much is the shadow of the conflict in Ukraine looming over this election cycle?
So maybe I will start with the first question. Thank you very much for that. So in this context, it is very important to know that France is currently holding the rotating presidency of the Council of the European Union. And when you are holding this function, or when you have this role, that means that you have kind of a coordinating role and can give some ideas for what can be done on the European level. And when Macron presented this program in December, it was clear that he wanted to put the focus on everything related to European sovereignty, but also to economic recovery, as well as creating a feeling of belonging to Europe. And with the Ukraine crisis, in terms of foreign policy, it was particularly the part on sovereignty that is becoming more and more important. So as you might know, since his Sorbonne speech in 2017, Macron has always pitched the idea of European strategic autonomy, lately changed the wording to sovereignty. But the idea of this is basically that the EU itself is able to make its independent decisions based on its interests and, of course, where possible, in cooperation with partners. And over quite a long time, fellow Europeans were kind of wary of this concept, mm-hmm. thought that it's kind of a hyperactivism of Macron. But then when the war in Ukraine kicked in, other Europeans painfully realized that this idea of having a Europe that is kind of a bit more sovereign in mm-hmm. terms of energy supply and in defense and can really leverage his tools, that this is maybe not the worst idea. And when we saw what Europe has done, that is basically putting Macron's concept of sovereignty mm-hmm. into practice. So, of course, it was not only him who has achieved that, but that's a clear success. Also knowing that Macron is the only channel of communication that Europe still has mm-hmm. for Russia. I leave it here if you want to ask a follow-up question.
No, I'll get back to you on that point actually in a moment, too. Hamid, let me ask you from your vantage point how the electorate is responding to what's going on in Ukraine. I mention this because, President Macron has been heavily involved in trying to broker some type of diplomatic solution to the crisis in Ukraine. He has been reaching out repeatedly to Russian President Putin. He's been shuttling around, trying to come up with some type of solution. Is that something that's hurting him or helping him when it comes to voters and when it comes to this election?
When it comes to the voters at the beginning of the Ukrainian crisis, Macron has benefits, of course, during his election. But at the end of the day, the French voters will see if their salaries have increased or not. I think this is the main important point. We've seen empty presidency of the European Union, and we've seen as well the domination of the American leadership, Biden's, in the European Parliament. So French people are very have been doubted by the presidency of Macron, and during his last five reigns of the French presidency. So I believe that the French people will not, of course, support this war about the Russian invasion, but at the end of the day, they are very worried about the social for the social situation and the economic situation. Mm-hmm. They are suffering in France. We've never seen in France people. I've never seen personally in France people are going to bring food from the bin in France, in Paris. So I live in the popular area, which is 19 arrondissement in France, mm-hmm. and the economic and social situation is worse than before.
Jacques, I want to pick up on a point you were starting to make in your last answer, which is the reasons for the sudden surge in the polls for Marine Le Pen. So I want to ask you, first of all, what are some of the reasons for that? And secondly, the fact that Marine Le Pen has softened some of her rhetoric around topics like Islam and like Euroscepticism, is that something that is helping her right now to win potential voters outside of her typical solid base?
Yes, indeed. I mean, the thing is that, as Hamid was mentioning, the people at first were very concerned about the war, and Marine Le Pen lost some points because she's so pro-Putin. She's a great Putin supporter, has even reiterated recently that the best ally for France would be Russia. But the fact is that people are now more concerned about the consequences of the war than the war, and the consequences on the cost of living. And the cost of living has been the hobby horse of Marine Le Pen in the last few months. She's campaigned on that. She has... she did not highlight her positions on race and things. She softened her image and concentrated on the cost for people who find it hard to make ends meet. And she has a lot of support among the working classes, unlike Eric Zemmour, for example. A lot of ex-communist voters, we can see the working areas, the working parts of France, like the north of France. She's very popular there. And also, she made a very good campaign, no big meetings. She traveled, stayed close to the people. And one factor which is very important mm-hmm. is that Eric Zemmour, with his radical positions, has made her look soft, look cuddly. She has a better image now. People like 46% of the French people thinks that she understands people like them. It used to be 22% in 2017. And now she's developed an image, the image of the woman next door who will look after, will be very helpful and look after your cats when you're away. Mm-hmm. And she's actually made a big of the fact that she loves cats. She's become a cat breeder. So she has a much softer image. But at the same time, and that's my main concern, is that her policies, on which she has not been challenged much by the media, and she has not taken part in many debates, her mm-hmm. policies are still hard. I think that Marine Le Pen is a wolf in sheep's clothing. Mm. And we can talk about the policies on immigration and Europe mm-hmm. and on the economy. They would be damaging for France, for France's economy, mm-hmm. and for France's standing in Europe. I think it would be a victory of Marine Le Pen would be more damaging even right. to the European Union than Brexit.
Jazine, you heard Jacques there talk about the opinion he was expressing was that a Le Pen presidency would be damaging for France's standing in Europe. I want to ask you, what would a Le Pen presidency mean for Europe?
Well, a Le Pen presidency would be very bad news for Europe. That is for sure. Maybe to start from a bit like an integration and institutional perspective, Le Pen has or had until the Brexit referendum actually always lobbied for a Frexit and underlined that this would be a good idea, but her narrative has changed. I mean, in fact, what she's advocating for now is kind of leaving the EU, but staying inside, because she says that she wants to reinstall the primacy of French and national law over EU law. So basically, EU law would not anymore be applied in EU members or in France, which basically means you're just in a loose grouping of states that doesn't have any regulatory power. And that is also what makes the core of the European Union. Mm-hmm. From a broader perspective, this Le Pen victory would be very bad news for Europe, because any deeper integration project would immediately be ended or would just not be pursued, and particularly in the foreign and security policy. That would be extremely complicated because you always need unanimity among member states to pursue projects here. So if there was a French veto on anything, the recent geopolitical awakening of the EU that we have just seen would have been a short momentum that would unfortunately only make it to history books.
Hamid, I want to ask you something about first something that Jacques was mentioning. He was saying that the candidacy of Éric Zemmour essentially makes Marine Le Pen look more relatable or perhaps more palatable to voters. I want to ask you about that. You know, Éric Zemmour is somebody who's twice been convicted for inciting racial or religious hatred. The fact that he is running, is that something that's normalized Marine Le Pen for other voters? Is that something that has made her perhaps more palatable to other voters?
Yeah, exactly. That is true. I do agree with Jack. She was normalized, of course, by the Éric Zemmour, the candidate, because he was more extremist of her. So I believe that Éric Zemmour, she was at the beginning of the campaign, criticizing the posture of Éric Zemmour, saying that he's a racist guy, Islamophobic guy. She changed her speech about the integration of the French Muslim people. We know, everybody knows how Éric Zemmour criticized Islam and non-Islamism. He was saying, Zemmour, that the French Muslim people has to leave the faith and the religion. But I would like to come back to the point about the Marine Le Pen and Macron. Don't forget that Emmanuel Macron and Marine Le Pen have the same economic program. She's a liberal and he is a liberal. The only candidate who really proposed a social reform is Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who wants to, of course, increase the minimum salaries for the French people. And he knows how French people during Macron's presidency have been suffering considerably. I would like as well to raise an important point about the Yellow Vest movement. The ideology of the Yellow Vest movement in France is still there, is still in the soul and in the heart of the French people in France. I think the crisis is deeper than the French election. There is in France a democratic crisis which will have to be resolved today. The first regime of the Republic is now finished, and that's why the democratic crisis has to be resolved in France.
Jacques, Hamid just mentioned Jean-Luc Mélenchon, and we heard in Natasha Butler's report earlier in the program that perhaps his political fortunes may be changing now. Do you think that is the case, and could he potentially make it to the second round as a candidate?
I think it's a bit difficult. Last time he was very close to Marine Le Pen coming in third position, but last time there were no green candidate and no communist candidate, and they've been eating it too, and they have voters of representing about 7-8%, you don't know exactly. And obviously, if they decided to vote for Jean-Luc Mélenchon would have a chance to come second, but I doubt it. But I would like to come back on the point of Hamid, and it is the climate in France at the moment, is that there's a kind of a democratic weariness, I would say. People say, okay, we have elections, but things don't change. It's always more or less the same thing. Yeah, it's true. We are part of the European Union, a free liberal market, etc. And governments can't do too much because of the international constraints. So there's a desire on the part of people to overthrow the table, to kick the thing. It's a bit like the feeling there was at the time of Brexit in Britain, where people needed a scapegoat. And at the moment, it seemed that maybe the scapegoat could be Emmanuel Macron himself, even though, contrary to what Hamid said, he hasn't got the same policies as Marine Le Pen, and he's not a neoliberal. He is social liberal, advocates the social market economy, but is not a neoliberal. And we can see in his last meeting, you know, that somebody went too far on the right by saying pensions should rise to 65 and people getting supplementary benefits should have some kind of involvement in the world of work, like training, not obligatory work, but training. But at the same time, he's made sure that he realizes that if he is to win, he has to earn votes on the left. So he's taken some more social measures, such as raising the minimum pension and so on. Quite a few measures go towards helping. And if you look at his record, you realize that the French are not doing too badly compared to the other. The energy prices in France have risen by 4%. In the rest of the EU, it's 29%. In Britain, they're present by 54%. But the French always like to think that, you know, it's terrible, inequal. We are one of the most least unequal countries in the EU.
I'm sorry, Jacques, I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's just we are starting to run out of time. I do want to ask Jazine another question here. Jazine, you wrote a piece recently in which you said, and I'm going to quote it, "Macron is the most Europhile president that France has perhaps ever seen. And the quest for European strategic autonomy has characterized his foreign policy over the last 5 years." I know that you were talking about some aspects of this in an earlier answer, but how much has President Macron transformed the EU?
Well, I would say if you had asked that question to me in 2019 or before the COVID crisis, I would say not really. Because the call for European strategic autonomy didn't resonate in his first years of presidency, but that completely changed with COVID and the recovery plan, when Europeans basically discovered that they are completely dependent on supply chains and need to step up their own capacities and capabilities to deal with these challenges. And also what I think from a foreign policy and defense policy perspective is particularly interesting is that his narrative of European strategic autonomy and strengthening European sovereignty has now made it into the language of the institutions. So Ursula von der Leyen, the Commission President, Charles Michel, President of the Council, they are all using this word learning. And that basically shows that there is kind of a change in thinking on how the EU approaches global challenges. And also when you're looking at what was achieved in terms of new defense initiatives, for example, I would say Macron's track record is quite good. So, for example, we now have a new rapid deployment force in the Strategic Compass. The Strategic Compass is a document which is kind of a strategic guideline that was just adopted in the end of March. And that is deeply characterized also by French influence. So I would say he has transformed the EU in terms of methods and also has given an important impetus to the EU to see itself and to start understanding itself as a geopolitical actor. But he has also transformed Europe because Europeans are now working differently together, not only in the EU, but also in coalitions of the willing.
Hamid, we only have about a minute and a half left. I just want to ask you about the fact that President Macron, you know, he really swept aside the traditional left-right political divide when it comes to French politics by forming this centrist party. Is that something that has completely remade French politics?
Well, I think Macron is out of touch. We've seen his old policies in France during his presidency. But I believe that the absenteeism in France, it's very important today. More than 60% of the French people maybe will not vote. People have been deceived by the presidency of Emmanuel Macron. And this will, of course, increase the democratic crisis in France. And I'm very worried about the political situation in the political map in France. This is a huge worrying for the French elites. And if Emmanuel Macron will not take seriously the social problems in France and resolve the protestation of the yellow vest in France, his presidency will be a disaster for the French economy, and the political situation will be unstable.
All right.
And this will, of course, destabilize the whole European Union.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thank you so much to all of our guests, Hamid Shriet, Jacine Weber, and Jacques Relland. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here in Doha, bye for now.